Well, I get to give a great sermon today. Listen to what Mr. Barry Grady said. Listen to what Bart said. And we're done. Sorry, I just had to do that. Being the nice guy and ordinary guy I am. No. I also wish that that we had a better society to live in today. But I am thankful that we are a nation that does take time to give thanksgiving. You know, because we of all people have a lot to be thankful for. And I hope all of you had a great time with your family or friends, you know. And when we come here on the Sabbath day, we're with family. And how thankful we should be that we are here. We're here only for one reason. The reason is that God the Father has called you and me. Now, we may not have chosen each other to be friends, you know. And we may not have ever met except for what? One reason. God opened your mind and my mind, and guess what? We're now family. And it makes me remember when my daughter Crystal was born, because she was 18 years younger than my oldest daughter. My oldest daughter had just graduated high school. And you're wondering, you know, because it's the bonus baby. And you say, you know, I think it was at Thanksgiving time we broke it to our children that Mommy was going to have another baby. And it's just like you and I. When that little girl came out, she was family. And I'm saying, sure, you saw the same thing with your families. No matter who it was, boy or girl, it was family. From that point on, it didn't make any difference. That was part of our family. And I remember when our third boy was born, my oldest daughter cried because she wanted a sister so bad. She just cried. And she said, I want a sister. I don't want a brother. I got two of them. And they treat me mean, you know. So I went up to her. I mean, the girl was really tore up. And I went up to her and I said, well, I'll tell you what, Kim. I said, if you don't want him in 3 weeks, we'll get rid of him. Well, of course, she knew that wasn't going to happen. But anyhow, she goes, okay. She was happy, you know. Well, she was like 9 years old. Well, you know, after 3 weeks with the baby, guess what? The little girl was, you know, just... So I went up after 3 weeks and I said, hey, Kim, I said, it's time to get rid of Justin. Oh, no, Daddy, you don't want to do that. You know. And, you know, that's what it is with you and I. God doesn't want any of us to ever leave. He loves each and every one of us, and He called each and every one of us to be here. And we really need to appreciate and be thankful for each other. We are our brothers and sisters. God has called us to be a family. And even though some of us are ornerier than others, and some of us give us a little trouble, we're still family. And we need to learn and love each other every day. But not only do we need to learn and love each other, we need to realize that God calls you and I here every week. Why does He call us here? Well, I'll go back to Genesis. Very beginning where it started in Genesis 2. And what does He say? If you'll turn with me there. So it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in Him He had rested from all His work which God created and made. So we know why we're here. We're here because it what? God sanctified this day. It's weekly Sabbath day. But why do we all have to be here? Why can't we just stay at home and enjoy being at home? Because the second purpose of it is that we gather together as His children. We are taught. And guess what? We get to know each other. We get to learn to love each other. And the more we learn about each other, the more we love each other. And that takes time. So every week, God doesn't want us to go away and be just our little selves or our little family or our little whatever. He wants us here to listen, to learn, and learn to obey. Hear the words of wisdom and knowledge. Hear it explained a different way that you never caught it before. We never understood it before. And all of a sudden, you say, oh, wow. You know, I was... Let's read about it again. Let's go to Exodus 29:11. And read about the Sabbath day. It's the holy day that God set aside for every week, for you and I, to stop and honor God, to love God, and to praise God, and to be as a family with our own families and with our extended family of each other. I bet you can't guess the verse I'm going to read, right? Okay, Exodus 29. 6 days thou shalt do labor and do all thy work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. I know about a year ago, I started thinking about the Sabbath day a little bit. And on my papers, whenever I come to Sabbath anymore, the thing I put on there to try and make me understand whose Sabbath day, I put God's holy Sabbath day. Sometimes we just take things for granted and we say, well, it's a Sabbath day. No, it's God's holy Sabbath day. It's not mine, it's not yours. It's our Father's, and He's called us to be a part of it. But when you put the words God on it, it lets you know who's in charge. God is our Father. He's my Father, but He's our Father, and He has called us together. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blesseth the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This is a very important day to God. Very important day to God. It's a weekly Sabbath day, a holy day. And it's very important to us. You know, it's only been about a little over 4 weeks since we were at the Feast of Tabernacles. And I hope all of you had as good a feast as I had. Because it was really a good feast. It was so nice. And everybody was cooperative. It's probably been one of the most cooperative feast sites I've seen. And everybody was happy. Everybody seemed to have a good time. And everybody talked to everybody. It's like a family. Everybody was just talking. I mean, usually you see people, they get off. But everybody's talking to the people around them. It was really nice to see. You know, it felt like a family. And that's what we are. Now, Ron Walters will never go to a feast site with me again, he said. But other than that... I don't know why. He didn't do much. Kidding. Ron and Carolyn did a fine job. They had a big job for me. But, you know... I got a note from a guy down in Cincinnati. I said, Mr. Petty said some nice things about me a few weeks ago, I guess. And I said, he said, but don't get the big head, you know. So I wrote him back. I said, well, it wasn't me. I said, all those fine people, you know. And really, it was all the people, because the people were so... I never had one complaint. I don't know of any complaints down there. Everybody was just happy to be there. And that's the way it should be. Because it's God's holy days. But you and I have been called. We've been chosen by the Almighty God. The God of gods. The Lord of lords. And the King of kings. You may wonder when you look in the mirror and say, why? When you look in the mirror. But there is a purpose for each of us. And He wants us to fulfill that purpose. And a lot of times we forget how important we are to God. You see, because we say, well, I'm not much, you know. But do you realize you have a position right now that there's probably over 100,000 people could take your place if we fail, if we fall away? over 100,000 people. You represent over 100,000 people. That's about the size of Dayton. I think Dayton has 175,000 people in it. Can you imagine that? You're that important to God? You're that important to God that He gets us trained and ready for His world tomorrow. Yes, we are important. God didn't call us to fail. God called us to finish the race. And we need to surely be thankful. Surely be thankful every day of our lives that we still know who's in charge. And help us to get on our knees every day and realize we are nothing and learn to thankfulness to God be more often. Because that way we will stay humble, realizing that we are nothing. Because, you know, vanity is the worst thing that any of us have. The wisest man said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." And he had done it all. But his life wasn't fulfilled because God fulfills our life. God made us to need Him. And when we're serving and doing God's will, we're happy. We're joyful. Even with troubles and everything else that happened, anything that Satan throws at us, we are still happy. You have a peace that no other people have. I see some of the troubles that people go through and I just feel so sorry for them. Because this is all they have. They don't know anything else. We have now and we have the future. That's what God has called you and me to. I'll just refer to it back in Matthew 22:14, and that where many are called and few are chosen. Every day we can thank God for that. Thank God that you're alive and thank God that you've been chosen. I remember years ago I talked to Art Clark, and back that time he was probably about my age or a little older, and I was a lot younger. And I asked Art, I said, "How are you doing, Art?" He said, "I'm doing great." I said, "Really?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Look in the obituary. My name wasn't there." Well, I'm beginning to understand that more and more now. See, because I keep seeing friends of mine dying. I went to a funeral a couple weeks ago when I wasn't here, and I had a cousin's daughter who was 33 years old. 33 years old. Hadn't been feeling good for about 2 months. Been to a doctor. Oh, I don't know. On and off. Tried different doctors. Doctor sent her home with a different prescription. She went to bed, took the pills. Tongue swelled up, throat swelled up. She died that night. 33 years old. Perfect health. Basically a few minor things. Reaction to the medicine. And my cousins tell me that, well, she's with her sister now and her mother and her dad and all this and that, you know. And my wife, she's over, yeah. You know, and I'm sitting there just saying nothing because I know she's in the ground. It's where she's going to be. It's where family's at, you know. Didn't want to burst her bubble. You know, she's mourning. I pray God's helper would come to her, give her strength to go through it. Made me think about my own children. You know, my oldest is 40. But most of them is in their 30s. I'd hate to think today I found out that one of my children died, and I think they're perfectly healthy at this time. It's bad enough when someone's ill and they've been ill for a long time and they pass away and they've had to suffer, but a quick death is really hard to comprehend. But the great part about it is you and I understand that we're going to be there to help these people understand God's truth and God's way of life. I have a brother I've never met who died before I was born. I have a father who told me that he understood. He said what did my dad say to me? He said, "I don't agree with what you do, but I see you believe what you believe." And I can't wait when he's resurrected to say, "Hey, Dad, here it is. Let me show you." But on the other hand, I got to look at it. If we've told all of our relatives, and I've told mine, all about this great plan, this wonderful way of life that God has, and I'm living it no matter what, and I don't care, I'm sorry, I can't do what you want to do, and da-da, and you've taken the wrath from them. And a time comes, and we're not there. We didn't finish the race. What are they going to say? Where's Dave? He told me all this. He was right down. This is exactly what he told me. This is what Barry told me. This is exactly what he told me. You know? Where is he? Well, he didn't make it. How could he quit? How could he give up? Don't you want to be there? I want to be there. I want to be there as one of God's saints. And I know you do too. To help brothers, sisters, mother, fathers. Any of your loved ones, aunts, uncles. You got a big catalyst when you first hit the door. Each of us do. Of showing love. Showing kindness. I think I'll get to hopefully help my mom and dad get back together and help them raise my brother. Help them understand God's way of life and how it works. My mother was an alcoholic, died at 54 years old, looked like a dried up prune. Just hard to believe. I'll never forget it. And I hadn't seen her for years, but they called me when she was dying. And I hadn't probably seen her for 14, 15 years. But, you know, someday I'm going to be able to help her. Someday you're going to be able to help your loved ones. I didn't really have any feelings for a woman, sorry to say. I feel bad about that because she's like a stranger. But I did know that she was my mother. But I'd lived an aunt and uncle all my life, or for most of my life, and that was my mom, and I used to say mom and unc. People say mom and unc. My mom and Uncle Bob, they raised me. So I didn't have a mom, so my aunt became my mother. You know. So what do? You look forward to the time that I can take my dad and my real mother and my brother who I never met, and my aunts and uncles, some of them know what I believe and some didn't, a grandpa who I never met. How about you? You thought about that? The great calling you have? The great calling we have? It's a calling that people would die for if they understood. If they understood what we understand, and just as we were when we came in. Because my dad disowned me when I came in. I lost a girl that I was basically going to be engaged to. But guess what? It was all worth it. It's all worth it. Because I got what? I got you as a family. I got a beautiful wife. I got beautiful children. At least I think they are. You know, we're prejudiced. So, you know. We're all prejudiced about our children, you know. And guess what? God's a father. So guess who's prejudiced about you and me? And doesn't want us to ever leave. He thinks you and I are great, even with our flaws. Says, they'll learn. I'll nudge them a little bit, and I'll correct them a little bit. They'll learn. You know, and he was going to be at the finish line looking for you and me to come down the finish line when we're finishing this race. God the Father and Jesus Christ, with arms open wide, saying what? I knew you could do it. I was with you all the way. You say, well, at times I didn't know. You know, some of the trials we have. But God and Christ are always there. They're always got their angels about us. So how lucky are we? We are truly a blessed people. Are we a thankful people? I certainly hope so. And we need to be more aware of it every day. And this is a wonderful day that we're able to keep in society. With society, the whole world, the United States and everyone else, we've come through this week. And what do? We gather our families together, our physical families, and we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy the food. Can you imagine being that way every day in God's kingdom? We're all in the same like mind. No evil thoughts, no wickedness. Can we even imagine what we're coming into? You and I are truly blessed in every way. A few weeks ago, we had a sermonette here about live by every word of God. And last week we had a sermon about what? Anybody remember? Wonderful traits of the Holy Spirit. So today, this is all introductory, so now I'm going to get into what I want to talk about. But it's leading up to it. Because we should all be thankful and realize the calling we've had and the opportunities we have. And remember, we have been chosen. And we are chosen for a purpose, for a reason. And that's to be kings and priests in God's kingdom forever. Christ said he's returning for each of us. We're the ones that need to be there, so we got to stay close to God and Christ. But today I want to talk about a group that's in the Dayton Church. We have probably over 20% of the people in Dayton Church that are part of this unique group, I will say. And so while you're trying to think about who I'm probably talking about, the 20% or so, I'm going to talk a little bit more and give you a few minutes to think about it. But there's 20% of the people in here that are really unique. I hope your minds are twirling. I hope your minds are thinking. But this group of people, brothers or sisters, did a very fine thing right after the feast. And they set a beautiful example for you and me. And we got a local elder who's been hurting for a long time, Ken DeVilvis. And after the feast, this group, after Sabbath, took their time and went out and took dinner to Ken and Sandy DeVilvis. Now that is being a servant. That is showing love. That is giving of your time. And I was so proud of them when I heard what they'd done. And I'd already had this working on this split sermon, I guess. But who was it? It was the widows in Dayton Church. They served. They gave. And in the Bible, God explains the widows are very important. Because the widows are whose? They're God's. They're God's wives. They look to God. And they have to look to God. Because most of them need help in some way or the other. Whether it be somebody to talk to, or it be somebody to help them, or whatever it may be. And if you remember in the Bible, they appointed 7 deacons to take care of the widows in the church. But it isn't only deacons. We all have it. There are brothers and sisters. Well, not our brothers, our sisters, excuse me. I don't think we have brothers and widows. But, you know, there are sisters. And over 20% of the church in Dayton has a spiritual or a physical widow in it. I was surprised. I didn't realize myself until I started doing it. It's over 20%. And the mothers and fathers' children. I remember when I was coaching basketball in YOU, my boys would get on me because I was probably maybe stricter than I should have been with my own kids. I don't know. Anyhow, they survived. And they'd get on me because when it came to a mothers and fathers' child, I back off. I'm sorry, I give them nth degree when I was coaching. I give them the nth degree of what was going on because I realized what they were going through. And a lot of people don't understand that if you've never been a mother's or father's child, because part of your life is missing. You don't have that part you need. And because I came from a broken family, I understood part of it. I never had to do any real hard disciplining except for one boy. I had to kick him off the team. But I bent back over probably for 6 weeks. And my kids just said, "How come you give them so many chances? You would have done this already." I said, "Because they're widow's children." I said, "God, that's God's children." I said, "Just like you are, but you have a mother and father. You have someone always there to help you, to take care of you." You know, they don't. And we need to remember that. But anyhow, the one boy, I finally kicked him off the team. And I want to tell you why the boy was so upset. And I felt so sorry for him because I knew what he was going through. His dad would call him, and his dad wasn't in church, of course, and he'd say, "I'm going to come over Saturday and pick you up." Oh, this kid was so excited. He's about 11, 12 years old. He was excited all day Friday night, just waiting to see his dad. We forget how important parents are to us. And guess what? Daddy didn't come. Daddy didn't even call and say he wasn't coming. Now, when I was raised by my aunt and uncle, my dad wasn't coming. He would call me. It never failed to call me. But I understand how this boy felt because I didn't care if I was playing baseball, basketball. If my dad was coming on Monday night, that's all that mattered, buddy. That's my dad. I told my kids one time, I said, "Can you imagine being excited about going out with your dad and doing a picnic on top of a hill?" I was. 9, 10 years old, I was thrilled to go out with my dad on this dumb hill and just sit there with him and get to see my dad. So I could understand how this boy felt. And this guy didn't do this just once. He did it time after time after time. And by Tuesday night when basketball practice came, this boy was ready to fight. I mean, he was literally ready to fight. So defiant. So angry. And it's all because of his dad. And I remember working with him, and finally I told him, I said, "I want to tell you something." I told him, I said, "I understand how you're doing." So I told him my story. He was surprised. I said, "But your dad's no good." I just told him, I said, "Your dad's no good." I said, "A father who will not call you and leave you hanging, son, you just need to write him off as a loss." I said, "I'm sorry, but that's the only way you're ever going to be happy." And a couple weeks later, I had to get him off the team because he was in such a bad attitude. I mean, he came ready just to cause trouble, and that's what he did. One practice, all he did was run laps. That's how bad he was. He was just defiant. So a few weeks later, well, it was about a week and a half later, he came up to me and says, "Can I get back on the team?" I said, "Nope, can't get back on the team." And then I said, "Whoops, that's a widow's." I said, "I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do. I won't let you back on the team. But I said, if you will go apologize to all your teammates for how you have acted, and they say they'll let you back on the team," I said, "I will let you back on the team. But I said, if they say no, no, you can't come back on the team." So he went up and he apologized to all the kids. And I said, "If you're out of line one more time, you're gone." I said, "I'm giving you one chance." And you know that boy never gave me a bit of trouble after that? Never gave me a bit of trouble. And that's what's nice about working with kids and stuff. And while you, I've ran into a couple of them since I've been out of, since churches are split and everything. And I ran to him, I don't know, probably hadn't seen for 10 years probably. And I'm at a wedding. He came up to me and hugged me and said, "Thanks." Because no one else cared enough to make a difference. Young people need to know that they're loved. Kind act that we can do is wonderful. It's the same way with the widows. They just need somebody to talk to sometimes. You know, just like you and I need somebody to talk to, but we have our wives maybe to talk to, or our husbands to talk to. You have a sounding board. Widows sometimes don't have that. So we need to pay attention to widows and mothers and fathers' children. And one of the weirdest things happened to me was at the funeral I went to, and of course it was a man's 35 or 36 years old come up to me, and he'd been a cat burglar while you. And he came up and thanked me. He said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Well, sure. What is it?" He says, "I want to apologize to you for how I treated you while you." I said, "Well, that's okay, son." I said, "You've become a fine young man. Looks like you have a fine family and da-da-da." Well, he was with one of the other groups, and he wouldn't speak to me 3 days later, but he came up during the funeral to tell me, you know. I said, "It's amazing, you know." He told me that, you know. But it just shows each of us have an impact on somebody. Whether it be your neighbor, whether it be people here, mothers and fathers, children, widows, someone's having a problem, an older person who needs help, you and I have a responsibility to love, to care for, and to give to. God says we're to be a doer. Let's go back in James. I think it's 1:22. I'm getting out of sequence, but I want to go back to it anyhow. James 1:22. It says, "Be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." See, if we hear something and we don't do it, that's like the wind blowing. If we hear it, as was mentioned a few weeks ago, we've got to abide by every word of God. Every word is precious. Every word is precious so that you and I can enter His kingdom. Because when we do that word, we're blessed. That's what He says back in Deuteronomy. Blessings and cursings. When you do my will, you're obedient to them, you're blessed. If you defy, go against it, you're cursed. So we're to be doers, not just hearers. That means it takes action. You and I need to take action to make sure we're putting ourselves out for somebody else. And not just taking care of self. Because you see, we all have that vanity of taking care of self. You're not going to let self go usually. You're usually going to take care of yourself. But it's the giving. Mr. Armstrong, you say there's a give and a get. You either give or you get. If you're not in the giving, then we're not following God. Because God has given us everything. And we take it for granted. And sometimes, because it is so easy, because God's always there and we've been blessed, you know, we sort of forget. But He's given you and I the opportunity for eternal life. Something as a physical being none of us can even comprehend in our wildest dreams. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, he said, "The problem with us as human beings," and it's really true, he says, "we keep trying to bring God down to our level." And you know it's true. We keep trying to bring Him down to our plane. His plane is so how much higher than ours. That's the plane we got to reach. We don't want to do like society and drop the level. Well, you don't have to pass. We're going to pass you anyhow. You can't fail. God doesn't say that. God says you have to reach the plane. We have to keep working towards the plane. We have to keep working towards the goal. We have to keep going towards the race and finishing the race, no matter how it hurts or how tired you are. We got to finish the race. Now let's get down to verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows and their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Does it sound very important? I believe it sounds, says it's pure religion. That's pretty strong. That's pure religion. It says, visit them and keep unspotted from the world. Let's go to John 15:16 for a minute. He's called us to be a part of this. Let's go back to where we started. As Christ is speaking, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now he's talking to the apostles, but when we have been baptized, we also have the same thing. We have been ordained. We've had hands laid on us. There's only three times I know of that the hands are laid on people. That's a baptism, ordination, and for healing. You ask God for healing. So it's a pretty powerful thing to have the hands laid on you, because you're asking from God a special event, special purpose. And all of you who are baptized have had hands laid upon you. And what? Ask God what? To take care of you. You have made the choice. He chose you. You have responded. What a blessing. We are truly blessed in so many ways. It says basically the same thing in 1 Peter 2:21. But we got to realize the opportunity you and I have and a blessing we have. And we have to finish the race. And one of the ways to help finish that race and to be doing as God says is to make sure that our widows and mothers and fathers do feel loved and cared for. It's all of our jobs. We can also add the old, those who are sick and in need. So we have a job to do. We're to be doers. We're not to sit back and say, okay, I'm waiting on God's kingdom. I was baptized and hey, I'm okay. I like myself and we're pretty good. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Because Satan will be able to get at us. Because when we start thinking only of self, that's a bad battleground. But when we start thinking of others, and we're praying to God, and we're reading God's word, and we're listening on the Sabbath day, and as we talk to each other, as a family, getting to understand things that are going on in other people's lives instead of ourselves, and doing things whenever we're able to. Doing things doesn't mean you have to take a person out to eat. Doesn't mean you have to buy them something. What it means is you have to take interest. You have to take care. And most of all, we have to pray for them so everybody can do it. Whether widows pray for people who are sick, or whether other people pray for the widows for their problems or whatever it may be, or, you know, family has problems. We need to know about it, all of us. So we as brothers and sisters can take care of what we can do and let God do the rest. But if we do our part, then the rest will be taken care of. And we do our part, we're working towards going into God's kingdom. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13:13 in closing. Y'all know what this is, so talking about the attributes, right? Attributes are really important to you and me. He says, and now abideth faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And if you don't have love in different parts of the Bible, you have nothing. And that's what the law of God teaches. How to love God through obedience to Him, as we know. And the last six, what? Teach us how to love others. Giving, caring, and doing. You and I are a blessed people. Help us truly to take the words of God and to make sure that we're doing them and bringing glory to God's name by being obedient, serving the widows, serving the motherless and fatherless, and generally in serving everybody. That's our calling. We got a crown waiting for us, and it's getting closer by the day. We see the world around us falling apart. There are no leaders, you know. And what do we see in God's church? Last year at this time, it was a mess. It's almost divided. A few weeks after I was over with it, it wasn't like in 95. 95, it went on for months, people going back and forth and jabbering. 3 or 4 weeks after I was over with, there was peace, and we've gone forward. That's what God wants you and I to do. We are the church. We are the church. The calling is between you and God. You and I individually have to answer to God for what we do and what we don't do. Hopefully we're going to be there and be changed in the twinkling of an eye and be in God's kingdom and God's family forever. That's our goal. Let's surely work towards it and be doer of God's will.